is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host. And we're very pleased to welcome David Maxwell, our colleague, who is a interpreter for the conduct of the South Korean government with regard to the threat from the North Korean government in these last days. David helps a deal because sometimes these headlines are upside down to me. Right now we have, for example, the unification minister, new unification minister in Seoul, suggesting to the new president in Seoul that in some fashion Seoul is, quote, blindly adhering to the alliance with the United States, including the annual exercises between the ROK and the U.S. military. David, a very good day to you. I could guess this doesn't sound positive, but what does it mean, a minister talking to a president about a military exercise that happens every year? Good evening to you.
Well, yes, it's troubling. And with all due respect, the Minister of Unification should stay out of military matters. His advice and recommendations will weaken alliance readiness, and such readiness will invite North Korean aggression. That's the bottom line. One of the conditions that Kim Jong-un seeks is a weakened alliance and specifically weakened military capabilities. So the minister's recommendations fully support Kim Jong-un's political warfare strategy, and they are dangerous for the alliance and South Korea. There are multiple dangers here. First, as Confucius says, to send an untrained people to war is to throw them away. Minister Chung's ignorance of military training, which is perishable and must be continued to sustain readiness. Consider the military like world-class athletes who have to train year-round to maintain their skills. And this will contribute to the success of Kim Jong-un's political warfare strategy. He wants to not only split the alliance, but drive U.S. forces from the peninsula. And the inability of the combined military forces to conduct training weakens readiness to the point where military commanders will have to recommend withdrawal of U.S. troops because it is the height of irresponsibility to leave them in harm's way without allowing them to train for war. So his view that all they need to do is conduct computer simulation really demonstrates the height of ignorance. And the sad irony is, following his recommendations will not reduce tensions with the North. It will only cause the North to double down on its political warfare and blackmail diplomacy strategies because the Minister of Unification is demonstrating that they work.
David Maxwell is Vice President of the Center for Asia-Pacific Strategy. Gordon, you have a question for David.
David, the Unification Ministers support Kim Jong-un's warfare, political warfare against the South. But they seem to also support the views of the president of South Korea, who was elected in that June 3 snap contest. Lee Jae-myung is known to abhor the United States, maybe even viscerally hate us. And he has called American forces on South Korean soil occupying forces. What do you think is going on here? I know the South Korean people want us to stay, but it seems that the political establishment in Seoul right now is determined to end the alliance.
Well, that is one way to interpret it, and I truly hope that is the incorrect way, but it is troubling. I think that what is necessary to understand is that North Korea is not just a threat. It is an existential threat to the South. And you're right, the people of South Korea recognize this, and that's why they support the alliance. I hope that President Lee will live up to his description that his supporters say, that he's a practical leader, wants practical diplomacy. And I hope that means that he can recognize what is necessary to support the freedom in South Korea. And the alliance is necessary to do that. Kim Jong-un does not seek peaceful coexistence as two countries. He seeks domination of the entire peninsula to bring it under the rule of the guerrilla dynasty and Gulag state, which is, of course, the ultimate condition to ensure survival. And I hope that President Lee and his administration will recognize the nature of the Kim family regime, its objectives and its strategy. But as you say, there are those who seem to want to drive a wedge in the alliance, which, again, completely supports Kim Jong-un's political warfare strategy.
On the Financial Times summary of news in the morning, I heard a reference to the President of the United States, who's been traveling in the British Isles, say that he does not believe there's time left to get a deal done with South Korea by the deadline of August 1st. Does that play into these remarks by the president, the minister, or the ambitions of North Korea, David?
Well, I'm not sure if the administration, the South Korean administration, is making these. I believe that the Ministry of Unification really believes what he's proposing, and you know, in his lack of understanding of the threat from the North. I'm not an economist. I'm not a trade practitioner. It's frustrating to me because I see such a win-win in the trade agreement between and trade relations between the U.S. and South Korea. South Korea is the largest foreign direct investor, and in the areas of shipbuilding, chips, EV, you know, and building factories in the United States for American workers, I see so many opportunities for win-win, and it's frustrating to me that to think that we're not going to come to an agreement, which I do think will have a lasting impact on the alliance.
Gordon, is the agreement with South Korea critical to the United States? Your measure, I mean, is this going to be one of those agreements that just hangs out there and doesn't get done, Gordon?
Yeah, it may not get done because Lee Jae-myung, the president of South Korea, doesn't like us and certainly would like to see lessened economic relations between the United States and South Korea, at least eventually. The problem here is that South Korea is absolutely critical to the United States. There's a lot of reasons, both geopolitical, trade, and investment, as Dave just pointed out. But nonetheless, Trump, I think, sees South Korea as a small country, and so therefore he's not going to give it an extension, even though he's given an extension to our enemy, China. So this is anomalous to, and I hope that our president changes his view on this.
We have a couple of minutes for a question for David.
Dave, your comments on what I just said.
Yeah, I fully agree. I hope that, you know, and I do believe that our president is practical, and I hope that his advisors can show him, you know, the value. And I think, you know, we talk about the trade value, but you mentioned the geopolitical value. I mean, if we want a free and open Asia, Indo-Pacific, if we want to be able to have a strategic agility platform to be able to project our forces, not only from Japan, but from South Korea, the Philippines, from Australia, really to protect U.S. interests in the region, we need a strong ROC-U.S. alliance. And so I hope we can get this trade deal done to help strengthen the alliance.
David, less than 30 seconds. The arsenal in North Korea flowing to Russia, does that continue?
Yes. And, you know, we've seen that just report today that, you know, millions, 6.5 million, I think, artillery shells and 600 weapon systems have gone to Russia. So this crank, China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, this relationship among all these bad actors, you know, is strengthening each other. Each of them. And of course, North Korea is really helping Russia. And I hope we can do something about that.
David Maxwell, Vice President of the Center for Asia Pacific Strategy, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.